Oh, all right. Thank you. All right, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to talk a little bit about a fairly short little story in the Bible about a man named Naaman. Second Kings chapter 5. I want to try to draw a few principles out of this story for you. Go through it. We'll read through it and just expound upon a couple of things in here. Starting at verse 1 in chapter 5, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, highly respected, because the Lord had given victory to Aram. But the man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper." So you got this great man, very talented leader, respected by the king, but he had one thing that was bothering him. He was a leper. Was an incurable disease, something which he could not go to the dermatologist for, something he couldn't go and get any other fix for. And obviously it was bothering him. It was his one thing that the Bible says was his problem. Verse 2, "Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive of a little girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife." Now they had went out and taken an Israelite girl as a slave by force. A slave. An Israelite girl. And the Israelite girl says to Naaman's wife, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." Think about this. This is an Israelite girl who has been taken from her parents. She's been taken, kidnapped. She's been kidnapped. And what's she do? Is she resentful? Is she mean? Is she hostile? What kind of attitude does she have toward her captors? She has a very good attitude. She's even helpful. She's saying, "I want to help you. I know a way to help you." Not the way I would think I would be toward someone who had kidnapped me. She is an example of what we would call Christian love. Other people would call it today Stockholm Syndrome. Have y'all ever heard that term, Stockholm Syndrome? Where people identify with their captors and get brainwashed? Well, I don't think this is Stockholm Syndrome here. But this little girl shows this Christian love toward her kidnappers. Verse 3. Again, she says to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. And Naaman went and spoke to his master, the king, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. And the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. Now I'm sure if the king of Israel knew that his people were being kidnapped, he's not really happy about it. You know, he's not going to receive this letter very openly. But Naaman, of course, is a important guy, and his boss is going to do everything he can for him. And going on in verse 5, it says, he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. It's a lot of money to send to the king of Israel. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of leprosy. And look what the king does, verse 7. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. Why did he do that? Maybe that's why they sent the 10 changes of clothes, because they knew the king was going to tear his. That's a joke. No, it's impossible. It's an impossible task. The king said, you're setting me up. This is a trick. You're trying to start a war with me. This is something I can't do. Why are you asking me to do this? He says, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is sending a quarrel against me. He's trying to start a war with me. And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. Now here you got this guy Naaman. He's a ultra big shot. He's like a general in the army. And he goes to see this guy, Elisha. Elisha does not even come out and personally talk to him. He sends a messenger. Naaman is a very prideful guy. And what do we know about leprosy? It's associated with pride. Look what happens, verse 11. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. See, Naaman already had conceived in his mind how this thing was going to work. He's a leader, so he already knows how things are supposed to go, how in his mind he's supposed to be healed. how Elisha is going to come out personally and do it, and things aren't going his way. And he's been told by not Elisha, but a messenger to go wash down in this Jordan River, which is a dirty river with carp in it. It's green. And he's offended. You know, he's too prideful to go out and do this thing. And here's, he goes on in verse 12. Are not the Abna and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away in a rage. You know, the way, you know, the little bitty things that we're told to do, they're really simple. They're really, really simple to do. Just keep the Sabbath. It's really, really simple. You don't have to turn away in a rage to do, you know, from it. Just don't eat pork. It's really, really simple. You don't have to turn away in a rage from it. It's really, really simple to do. They're very, very simple things to do, and you don't have to get offended about it. God doesn't ask you to do very great things. And we don't need to be prideful. You know, if He asks us to do really, really little things, that can be just as important as if He asks you to do very great things. But Naaman has a problem with it. And then what comes next, verse 13, his servants come to him. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do something great, would you have not done it?" You know, maybe if Elijah had told him to climb this big mountain and get this, you know, weed from the top of this mountain that only grows on the top of the mountain, and, you know, wash it seven times and, you know, whip it over the tops of his shoulder and, you know, eat of it and, you know, or chew it and spit it, you know, something weird, something great, would you not have done it? Of course he would, because that seems right. But he's just asking you to do something little, something simple, something easy. So he's reasoning with them. So it goes on. How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Do something simple. So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And it worked. So what do we learn with this? Well, first of all, we learn from the little girl that we need to show our Christian love even to people who are our captors, are in control of us. We need to be kind. Just like the hospitality of Abraham we were talking about today. People that we don't even know, we need to be kind to others. Second of all, it's not the way we think things should be done, but it's God's way. You know, we think that some way of greatness or some miraculous ritual or some kind of strange and, you know, strange ceremony or something is some way of getting what you need. It can be a very simple task of obedience. It can be, you know, and it's more than this. It's Naaman did not understand washing in a dirty river. He wanted to wash in the clean river. The rivers that are great. How can a dirty river make me clean? Well, I don't know. Why does the Bible tell us to keep the Sabbath? Why does the Bible tell us to eat the way we're supposed to eat? I don't know. But it does. They're very small things, but they're God's ways and not our ways. We're not to consider our way of thinking because we're trying, our flesh is trying to be like Naaman when we're doing that. We don't understand his ways because we're human. Okay? The other thing here is that he thought that there was some kind of deliverance by grace only. He would just go there and Elisha would wave his hand over him and he would be delivered from it. That there was no action required. But see, the thing is, he had to have this faith that faith would produce this work where he would actually go down and do something. Okay? You have to have a faith which produces works. That's the evidence of faith, is your works. It's not just like you wave a hand. That's magic. Okay? So, it's faith with works. Okay? And another lesson here is pride. His pride almost cost him his healing. If it were not for his servants with their lower status, their more humble nature, to give him some reasoning, he might have not been healed. Pride can cost us our healing. We need to be prideful. I mean, we need to be proud in what we do, but we need to be humble enough that we can do those little things that may seem, you know, inferior. You know, If I have to go through the lunch line and all there is pork and I have to turn around in front of everybody after I've been in the lunch line 5 minutes, I have to be humble enough to step out of the lunch line and just do it. Amen. I'm not too prideful to do that. I'm not going to let pride take away my blessing, right? Obedience brought the blessing. That's the last thing. Obedience here brought the blessing, didn't it? Can you see any other thing in this accounting here that brought the blessing? But his obedience. And that's the thing. Obedience always brings about the blessing. And it ain't obedience to those great things. It's obedience to the little bitty things that don't seem great. It's obedience to things that seem small and insignificant. Okay? That's all I have for you guys today.